tonight. Amen. We thank God for blessing my wife through her sickness. She's still pressing. How many of us are pressing through something? I see Sister Shelly. I know she was pressing because she was in the hospital the other day, Sunday. And we went to visit her. Amen. I might have acted up a little bit at the hospital, right? Sister Shelly, did I act up a little bit? The Bible said, mere heart doeth her like a menace. You know, used to go in the hospital and make somebody already sick sad. Amen. So we went to make her happy. Amen. So we bless the Lord. We just thank God for all of you being here tonight. Amen. We just thank God because God is good. It seems like every day there's a new something happening in someone's life. Amen. When you least expect it, unexpected things are taking place. But truly we bless the Lord because God knows we can handle it. Because the scripture said God is faithful. How many know God's faithful? Give God a roll call. God is faithful. And because he's faithful, the scripture says he will never place more on us than we're able to bear. But he will, with the temptation, make a way to escape that we might be able to bear. Amen. So God is good. And the devil is on the all seems like he's on the all-out assault against the saints of God. You know, when you don't least expect it, things are coming from every different direction. But still, God is faithful. Amen. 2 weeks ago, we said God can help you if you let him. Right? A lot of times in God helping us, he don't help us our way, but God does it his way. So it's so important tonight that we have a mind of God. Amen. And the mind is, Lord, I don't understand all that I'm going through, but I trust you. For I said, blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Blessed is the man that what? Trusteth in the Lord. So you might not understand it, and many times it seems like trials come out of nowhere, but God is still faithful. He's still there for us. God will still supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory. So the test, God is just allowing you to go to the test to see what is in your heart. Amen. Many times we look at tests and think that God is angry at us. What have we done wrong? Amen. You got to learn to praise your way through it. Everybody going through something? You got to give God the praise. Hallelujah. You got to praise your way through those difficult situations. Job, after he lost everything. I know how we haven't lost everything. Maybe we lost some close things, but we haven't lost. Job lost everything. And the Bible says he fell down and worshiped. What we need to do in our difficult situations, we need to learn to worship. The Canaanite woman, when she came to Jesus, she said, I need help. My daughter is sick. And I need you to come intervene. And the Bible said Jesus didn't even pay her no attention. He walked right by her like she wasn't there. Amen. And she said, Son of David, have mercy on me. Hallelujah. And the Bible lets us know that Jesus turned around. He said, I'm not sent unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Hallelujah. But the woman was desperate. And in her desperation, she fell down and worshiped. And when she fell down and worshiped, even though Jesus was ignoring her in the beginning, she said, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs. Yeah. Anybody tonight feel like they want some crumbs? They fall from their master's table. And Jesus said, I haven't found so great faith. No, not at all, Israel. So you got to learn to press through difficult situations. Even though it might seem like God is giving you a death here, praise your way anyhow. Does anybody tonight want to give God a praise? Come on. Does anybody tonight want to thank God? Hallelujah. Thank him anyhow. It's been bad. Hallelujah. But it could be worse. Because when you begin to praise God, when you begin to worship God, the scriptures say God inhabits the praises of his people. If I look back over my Amen. Do you still see God in the midst of it all? Amen. On Sunday, we went over, and I promised, Lord willing, if we were here tonight, that we would continue it. We went over on Sunday a flashback from eternity. Amen. A flashback from eternity. And as I said, when the Lord was dealing with me concerning this, I would think a picture 1,000 years from now, when our soul is in some place. In my flashback from eternity, I just want to be able to praise Him. Hallelujah. But I don't want to be, as we're going to go over again, like the rich man. Think of all the woes and all of those that we need to warn and they don't come to the place of torment. So tonight we're going to continue and we pray with the help of the Lord that we'll go deeper into what a flashback from eternity. Tonight, if we were in eternity and we know the lifestyle that we've been living, amen. Nobody else doesn't have to know, but we know the lifestyle that we've been living. The Bible said every one of us should give account for the things done in our bodies. I can't give an account for my wife. My wife can't give an account for me. Amen. At that time, it's just between you and God. And then give an account for the things done in our body. If we were to be in the judgment seat of Christ right now, would He say, well done, my good and faithful servant? Or would He say, depart from me, ye into everlasting fire, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched? Where would we end up tonight? Amen? Come on, y'all don't get quiet on me. We were just getting our praise on. Don't stop praising. Y'all going to make me have to sing or something up here? I know. Amen. Let us stand. We're going to go quickly through Luke, the 16th chapter again. Luke 16th chapter again. And we're going to start in verse 23 of Luke 16. We'll read verses 23 through 31. And tonight, all we want to picture is hearing the Lord say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Amen. You know what's so good about being a servant? As a servant, we don't have rights. You know, a servant doesn't have rights. A servant that's an obedient servant does whatever the master asks. Amen. So if the master said do this or do that, we are a faithful servant. As a faithful servant, we do whatever the master asks. Amen. Verse 23 reads, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in, you won't have peace in hell. You have what? Torment. And seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented. He's having a flashback. Amen. He remembered how he treated Lazarus. Now the one he mistreated, he's asking Father Abraham to send him. He's having a flashback. A flashback brings you back into a time in the past, amen, where you have gone through something. A what? A flashback. Verse 25 says, but Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my. He's having a flashback. He's thinking about his family because he didn't want them to come to that place. For I have five brethren, that he may testify to them, lest they come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, If they had not Moses and the prophets, neither would they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. And the church said, word of the Lord is blessed already. Just to support that, you all may be seated. Turn to Matthew, the 27th chapter. Matthew chapter 27. He said, neither would they be persuaded though what? One would rise from the dead. Amen. Matthew 27, and let's go to verse 52 of Matthew 27. Amen. Matthew 27, verse 52. This is when Jesus cried out with a loud voice and had yielded up the ghost. Amen. Now remember, he said, if they don't believe the word, they don't believe that somebody came back from the dead. Amen. And verse 52 says, do we all have it? Is it on the screen? All right. If you don't have it, it is on the screen. Verse 52 reads, and the graves were opened, and many of the bodies of the saints, which these were dead saints. So when Jesus died, remember we went over on Sunday for a moment, so when Jesus died, when he resurrected, he led captivity captive. All those saints that had died before Jesus' death, the Lord went down, the scripture says, and he preached to those spirits that were in prison for 3 days and three nights. Then when he rose, this is the power of God. Only God can do this. This is only our God can do this. Everybody that had died from all the way back from Adam up to Jesus, when he died, he brought them all with him. What a mighty God we serve. They brought them all with him. Everyone that had died that was a saint, when he resurrected, he brought them all with them. And the scripture says, and they rose and came out of the grave. This is the power of who? Our God. Only Jesus brought some people with him when he came back. I know they say Hare Krishna and Muhammad and all of this and stuff. But if they did come back, which I have never seen them, they came back by themselves. But Jesus brought back a whole host with him. You talk about some power? Wonder-working power? What a mighty God we serve. Amen? He said, and came out of the grave after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto him. So when Jesus rose, man, remember he said, no one rose from the dead, they what? Went believe. So when Jesus resurrected, all those dead saints went to the people they knew. They said they appeared unto what? Many. Right? So when they appeared, they knew that they had been dead. But there was something that surrounded the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So they went and showed themselves alive to many, but he still didn't believe. Right? After you've seen somebody that's been dead for years and they come and they're speaking to you, that ought to be enough to let you know something is going on. Right? But they still didn't believe. So the Lord said, no one rose from the dead. They still would not believe. Amen. Sometimes we can get so entrenched in our religiosity that we fail to follow God. Amen. Sometimes we get caught in our religiosity, following our religions that our mothers, our grandmothers, our great-grandparents, all the way back to the beginning of time were in, and we forget to follow Jesus. So they were so wrapped up in their religion that they failed to see the miracle of dead saints walking around in the city. Right? That's something. Because the Bible says, appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. But how many know when Jesus is involved, things happen. And they don't have to be the same. That's just a side note. You all just put that aside. Right? Just to support what Jesus said, if they rise from the dead, they still will not believe because they are so set in their own way. Amen. Can we go? Let's go to Luke chapter 14. Now we're dealing tonight with the mind that we ought to have in approaching God. Luke chapter 14 and verse 25. Amen. I just want to be right. You know, I can make up a whole lot of excuses and different things, but tonight, my greatest desire is I want to be right. Amen. I don't want to be, when I leave church tonight, I don't want to leave church tonight guessing, is God pleased with me or isn't he? The old saying said, we got to have a what kind of salvation? A no-so salvation. When I leave tonight, I got to know I'm right with God. Amen. And hopefully we get to all the scriptures concerning how God sees us, whether or not we are right with him. Actually, let's start in verse 16. I'm just going to go through this quickly. Because one of the biggest problems that we have today in church is being what God wants us to be is we make up too many excuses. Right? Excuses. Well, why, if you know God wants you to do, why did you do it? Excuse. Right? You can fill in your excuses. We all know our own excuses, right? Alright, good. Y'all don't have no excuses. Praise the Lord. So everybody's what God wants them to be, amen? That is loud. So I guess we're in a limbo. Alright. So I'll get the look. Is that the look? Not yet? Not yet? Okay. Not yet. I'm alright then. Yeah, I have to make y'all smile. Like, y'all be so serious in church. Y'all be so serious. Like, man, y'all been through the mill. Anybody been through the mill? Don't tell us. Keep it to yourself. And Jesus knows all about our struggles. He won't rest till the work is done. There's not a friend. Come on, there's not a friend. No, not. No, not one. Anybody want to talk to somebody that knows all about it? Amen. You want to talk to him? Song said, what a friend we have in. Anybody got a friend like Jesus? What I like about the scripture says about Jesus, he's a friend that's sticking closer than a brother. When Jesus is your friend, he will stick with you. Other friends, when things get bad, they will let you down. You don't believe you go through some financial trouble. And all those friends that told you, I'll stick with you. When you go through some financial trouble and they see you coming? Unfortunately today, we mess up. Phones got caller.
ID.
ID. They already know you got trouble, so when they hear you calling, they tell one of those false truths. I'm in a meeting. I'm driving. You know how you can hit all those different buttons? I'm in a meeting. I'm driving. Oh, I'm in this hole. Normally they call that a lie under normal circumstances, but this is your friend, right? Because they can help you. What I like about Jesus, the Bible says his mind is never busy. He's always, you can talk to Jesus almost anytime. There's no one else that can be to us what Jesus can be. Amen. So if you tried everything else and everything else has failed, then it's time to try Jesus. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Your best friend let you down, try Jesus. Husband and wife let you down, try Jesus. The Bible says he'll never fail. He'll never let us down. He said, I'm with you.
Always.
It's time, hallelujah.
Yeah.
It's time to get off these human relationships. And it's time to work on our spiritual, heavenly relationship. Jesus never fails. Amen. In all of the battles Jesus has ever been in, he's never lost one. He's a winner every time. So if I'm going to make an investment, and if I have some money to invest, and if I have to make a choice in my investment, I think I want to go with the one that wins
every time.
Every time, right?
Amen.
Why don't we make better? our soul. Others will let you down, but Jesus will never. People will get mad at you. Hallelujah. He might not speak to you for a few days, but he will never let you down. What a friend. Anybody want a friend like the lowly Jesus? Come on, anybody want a friend like the lowly Jesus? Verse 16 said, then said he unto them, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, come, for all things. How many know today? Definitely all things are ready. All God is saying is, come. He said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open it, I will come in with you and I will. So the supper is ready. Tonight he's not. But he won't open the door. You got to. You got to open the door. So all things are now. The Lord will come at any time. Look at somebody and tell them, all things are ready. Come on, we're going to have everybody wake up. Look at somebody on the other side and tell them, all things are ready. And ask them, are you ready? Come on, ask them, are you ready? We never know when we're going to go from time to eternity. But we should be ready. So his supper is now ready. Amen? And they all said, now how in the world could they all do it together? Right? They didn't make excuses separately. They did it with all as a whole began to make excuses. Why I can't come to the supper that the Lord has made for me? Why can't I open the door if he's knocking? I'm so glad this ain't for y'all. This is for the internet, all right? So y'all ain't making excuses. Because we all want God wants us to be doing what God wants us to do. Yeah, what amen?
Jesus.
I didn't say amen, so I guess I'm messed up too. What I'm saying, what's stopping us from being ready? So they all with what? One consent. Began to make excuses. All right, now let's skip down to verse 21. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, yet there is still room. And the Lord said unto that servant, go out unto the highways and hedges, compel them to come in, that my house, God is trying to fill his house. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bid, God said, you won't taste of this supper. Why? Because of your excuses. We can't continue to make up excuses for why we're not what God wants us to be. Not what a man wants you to be is not important. After all that God has done, after all the ways that God has made, hallelujah, I like what the psalmist said, what shall I render? Anybody want to pay God back for how good has he been to you? He said, what shall I render to the Lord for? For all of his benefits. All the good things that God has done. Hallelujah. When others died, God kept me. Hallelujah. I remember times, all the situations where I could have expired, but God made a way out of no way. So when I think of all the good things that God has done for me, how long shall I render to God for all of his benefits? I can't help but take the cup of salvation. And I'm going to call, how am I, don't excuse yourself out of this. Somebody say, look at somebody and say, you got to take the cup. He turned and said unto them, if any man, if anybody come to me and hate not his father. Now, we know God don't promote hate. So since they didn't have the translators didn't have the proper word means to take above or to prefer above. That's what this hate means, prefer above. All right? So let's say, man, God has people hating now. All right? For, you know, the critics, God didn't mean hate. He means to prefer above. Amen? He said, if we change the word, if any man prefers his father, mother, wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, and if you prefer your own life above him, he said, you cannot. So tonight, are we preferring anything above? Are we putting anything before? The Lord says plainly and clearly, if you do it, he said, you cannot be my disciple. Verse 27 says, whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Amen. And let's skip down, for the sake of time, you can read in between. Skip down to verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that we have. The Lord is saying, you know, you can't put anything before me. He said, if you can't forsake, you know, how many know we like to use this real weak excuse? Well, you just don't know what I've been through. Come on, y'all ain't never said that? Mm-hmm. I've been through this and I've been through that. If you were in my shoes, you would have been just. Y'all ain't never said that? Huh? Yes, y'all, I heard some of y'all say it. Don't forget to counsel with y'all. So you have said that, right? If you know what I've been through, God knows what you've been through. But he's faithful. God is there for you. Right? So you still, the problem is you haven't forsaken. What's that? Three-letter word? A-L-L. That means if you don't forsake all, you cannot be his. Somebody said we can close the book and have altar call right now. Right? Because there are things that we hold on to instead of following God. Right? So can I be nosy for a minute? Y'all give me permission?
Yes.
I hate to take it, so please give it to me. I said, you don't get it till I have to take it. Right? You know, somebody, has anybody ever did something to hurt you real bad? And you still holding on to it? If they done something that hurt you real bad, and you still hold on to it, you have not forsaken all. And I'm not saying hold on to it, I'm saying every time you look at them, you have a flashback. You have not forsaken all. Amen. Just think, anybody messed up a lot? I'm going to levitate. I'm going to raise my hand and feet. Y'all ready for this? I can't do that. If I could, I'd raise them all, right? But just every morning, God gives us new mercy. We mess up. God gives us. But then when we deal with one another, we hold on. Right? We just can't let it go. I'm not just talking about family. I'm talking about even at work. This is where we get real bad now. Man, people at work mess up. Yeah, this ain't church. See, I dealt with this thing. This ain't church. If I was in church, that's why I don't have to do that. I'm at work now. You still are his disciple. You still are the light of the world. The Bible says he's still a red and known of all men because you're already living. So if you keep letting go and work, you have not seen it all. Amen. So the devil likes to set us up to make us hold on to stuff. You know, the old good thing, you know, like Minister Bloomfield, come over here for a second. Like, you know, you did good tonight. I told you I'll make sure y'all sing in English. I'm so glad y'all did it in English for you. They sing in Jamaica today, they sing in English. Alright, but you know, I'm not finished yet. That was just the introduction. Yeah, don't be running again. You know, but you know what? He made me mad, right? So I'm just as happy. Praise the Lord, bless you. And don't even speak and do this.
Come on.
You ain't forsaking all. Because you're holding on to something that you gotta let go of, right? So when I see him, I might not be happy with what he did, but praise the Lord anyhow. And thank you for speaking in English. Thank you, Jesus. But what I'm saying, in our flashback from eternity, we're holding on to too much. Amen. We gotta let some stuff go. Jesus said, if you don't forsake all, you cannot be mine. Yes, you still, like, you have to deal with the hurt and the pain because you're still human. You still have those problems, but you cannot let them have the preeminence. You cannot let them control you. You cannot let them control you to the point that you're up one minute and down the next. One minute you're happy and you see the wrong person in your environment and you're sad. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eyes, glory, is on the, and I know, yes, Lord. So I don't let anybody take my joy and put it in their pocket because God has been too good to me. But if you're holding on to little stuff, how many think, you know the whole excuse, well, I am human. Anybody that's not human, please stand up. Thank you. So that means we all?
Human.
So we all experience the same thing. But some of us can't go forward in God because we won't forsake some hurts of the past. Paul says, forget all that stuff. You know what kind of a basket case Paul would have been? All the people he murdered and killed, even when they stoned Stephen, he was standing there consenting to his death. If Paul allowed all that mess up from the past to influence him, Paul couldn't have done anything for God. And I think he wrote like 14 books of the New Testament, and there's only 27. And he wrote 14 of them. You know why? Because he was able to. We can't even write a new chapter in our life because we won't. You can't write a new chapter. So we're in church, we praise the Lord, hallelujah. And husband and wife go home, we can't even speak to each other. You have not. Come on, talk to me, right? You know, we in church have a nice time, we go home and have to deal with our children, and we don't have no joy because we haven't. We go home and the neighbor has aggravated us to no end, and we see them coming, and we lose all of our godliness. And when they look at us, they don't know if they saw the devil or one of his advocates. Because we are reacting to something that they did in the past. You gotta let it go. Judas betrayed Jesus, sold him into crucifixion. And when Judas came to Jesus, Jesus said, friend. Right? What did Judas just sell Jesus into? I didn't get to the message yet. Man, I messed up. But what did himself, Jesus said to him, his crucifixion, the worst pain and suffering that anyone has ever had. And he was able to look at his betrayer and call him, and we can't even look at our own family members and say, friend. They stoned Stephen. Stephen was on the ground in agony and pain. But he said, Father, hallelujah. You want to get over? You got to let some stuff go. He said, Father, forgive them. He said, because of what they're doing, they just don't know what they're doing. We got to get past some stuff. Amen. A flashback from eternity. Now, let us go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I'm still on course. And y'all know when I get off course, because I have some help. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And I ain't looking up, so I can't see the response. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1 reads, remember now thy creator. A lot of people serve the Lord as they get old because they lived and did everything they want to do. He said, now remember thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou sayest, say,
I have no pleasure.
So a lot of people, after they've done all they want to do, say, now I love the Lord. He said, you're supposed to serve the Lord in the days of thy youth. Somebody said, well, I got to wait till I get old. That's not what the scripture says.
Right.
When I get 30 or 40, I serve the Lord. He said, in your
youth.
What is youth?
Child.
What's youth?
Youth.
All right, everybody in here, there's youth, stand up. Youth, stand up. Youth. Y-O-U-T-H, that you. Stand up. All right, everybody, not you, stand up. I'm leaving you right there, like I'm like, I'm a 20. All right, let me do it this way. Everybody on the 20, stand up.
Amen.
Everybody.
Amen.
So he's speaking to you all. He said, you got to serve the Lord. Wait, I'm just sitting down there. You got to serve the Lord in your youth. All right, who's under 35? Stand up. Everybody under 35, stand up. You're still in your. So you got to serve the Lord? All right, that's good enough. I ain't going no further. Amen. But you got to serve the Lord. Well, why do I have to serve the Lord in my youth? Let us drop down to verse 13 of the same chapter, chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole. You know, the only reason you are alive. This is the conclusion of the
whole matter.
This is the whole matter of life. The reason that you were created. The reason that somebody said, well, God didn't create me, trust me, God created us all. Amen. He is. Remember that God creator in the. So who created you?
God.
He created us all. Amen. Amen. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep. For this is the only reason God created us was to fear him and to keep his commandment. For God shall bring. Somebody says some stuff that you don't know about. God knows. Right? And the Bible says in Romans, I believe, chapter 2, he's going to judge all the secrets. We might get there. You know, some secrets. Secrets is, y'all don't think nobody know. But we don't think nobody know. I should say, y'all. Oh, that sounds very, what? Self-righteous, right? I don't want to be self-righteous. We don't think, all right? We don't want to be self-righteous. We don't think some self-endowed people know. They are. Secrets? You know what secrets are?
Yes.
Secrets are, the only one that knows you in your little diary. I never write diaries. People got too many trouble with that stuff. I never wrote a diary. Write a diary and everything, diaries in trouble. But nevertheless, they God does know the secrets, and we will try to get there, right? But he said, for God shall bring every work into judgment with
every
what things?
Every secret thing.
You don't think God knows? Every
secret,
whether they are
good or
evil, God is going to bring that into judgment. And how we stand before God will determine what we wind up. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to read verses 10 through 11. So you're going to bring everything into what?
Judgment.
The Bible says, verse 10 says, for we must all appear before the some of us, all of us.
All.
Everyone, whether you choose to accept it or not, will have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in when we go before Christ. For the things we know, the secret things that only a few people know, God knows it. Amen. According to that he has done, whether it be same thing that Solomon said. Amen. Knowing therefore, terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest. There is nothing hid from God. Everything we do is open before God. I don't have time to go through everything. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4 real fast. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4 and then let's go to verse 12 of Hebrews chapter 4. Amen. Now, we're dealing with the judgment. Judgment is not what anyone sees but God. Yes, there are some secret things. But how many know God knows those secret things as well? Amen? Before we go, can we go to Romans chapter 2 first? Then, since we got to go through the scripture, go to Romans chapter 2 first. And we're going to start at verse 13 of Romans chapter 2. Now we're dealing with going into judgment and God judging what things, not just, you know, we all are conscious of stuff that we know people know. But we think we get by when we do stuff we think nobody knows, right? You acted like whatever and when and did and told everything off, walking, talking, and everything else, and think nobody knows, but you're that individual. God knows. God knows everything there is about us. Amen. So Romans chapter 2, verse 13 read, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the
doers of the law.
You can't just hear God's word, but then it's time to put it into application. You must what? Do it. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things which are contained in the law, these having not the law are a law. Now, he's not promoting being a law to themselves, but they naturally did the right thing. That's what he means. They didn't know, but they naturally did the right thing. It's like a lot of people aren't saved, but they have a good heart, so they will naturally do the right thing. Amen? Which show the words of God, of the law written in their, so they don't know, but it's in their hearts. Their conscience. Thank God for conscience. Bearing witness there. So their conscience and their thoughts being the means of accusing our. What is our thought and conscience doing tonight? Is it accusing us or is it excusing us? Our what thoughts? Some of us don't have no peace because our thoughts are accusing us. And we say, well, I'm just all right. You know the old thing, you try to play the sight game. The sight game only works for so long before the truth comes out. In the day when God shall... So your conscience is beating you up. Your thoughts are being healed. You know you should be doing the right thing, but you don't do it. It says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of God's men's heart according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So your thoughts, your conscience, everything is beating you up. God's going to judge you. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Amen. And we know it says, for the word of God is what? Quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the divine asunder of. Only God's word can separate the soul from the spirit, right? And the joint from the. But God's word goes further than that. It's a discerner of the thoughts. Those thoughts. That mind. He's a discerner of the. And the. So others, you might fool, but you cannot. Well, why can't you fool God? Because verse 13 says, neither is there. Neither is there any creature that is what? In his sight. But all things are naked and others might not see it. We can be guaranteed one thing, God will not miss it. It's open. It is, you know what naked means? It ain't nothing you can do to hide it. Because God sees it. Hallelujah. It's naked and open before the eyes of him for what we have to do. You can't run or hide from God. And let's close in Revelations, the 20th chapter. Revelation, the 20th chapter. Amen. Don't get quiet on me, y'all. I know it's been a long day. Anybody work hard today? I worked real hard yesterday. Outside, but nevertheless, y'all don't need to know my story. That was yesterday. Somebody said, this is a new day, Pastor. What are you talking about yesterday for? I'm young. Amen. All right, Revelation 20, verse 10. Do we all have it? All right, wait. Do we all have it? All right, I'll do it better. All right. Verse 20, verse 10 says, and the devil that don't be deceived by the devil. You know what? If you read about it in Isaiah, the 14th chapter, it says that when they see the one that deceived them, they're going to say, are you the man? You are the one that did all this to me? The devil that what? Deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented. Don't believe every prophet. There are false prophets. And I was going to go over to Revelation chapter 2. It says that Jezebel proclaimed herself to be a prophetess. And God said, I gave you space to repent, but you repented not. Hallelujah. So there are prophets and a self-made prophet. But how many know God did not send them? God did not speak to them. So if God didn't send you and God didn't speak to you and you're representing God in the judgment, you will be where the devil is. Isn't that what you said? I didn't make that up, did I? And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away and there was found. Can't hide from God. In the end, we're going to all have to stand before our Maker, whether you choose to or not. Somebody said, well, a lot of people, when they die, they say, cremate me over the waters, drop my bodies over the sea, because they don't have to worry about nothing. We're going to find out about them too. Amen. He says, verse 12 said, and I saw the dead, small and green. Now this is a revelation that John is getting. On the Isle of, sometimes it's good to be by yourself. Because if John was with a bunch of people, guess what? You only got the revelation. So sometimes you need long time. So God can. Now don't try to get a whole lot of revelations. Just let God speak to you for you. Right? A lot of times we get revelations. Like I remember I was preparing a message. I was so excited. God said, I didn't get that to you for nobody. I gave that to you for you. I'm like, oh man. Some things God gives to us for us. Alright, so that message has never been preached to anybody but me. Because everything God gives to us is not for others. God gives us some stuff for, but then we get so emotionally and so excited, we say, God gave me this. God said, but I gave it to you for. Because if God gives you a revelation, God also confirms a revelation with his preachers. Because the Bible said, out of mouth of. So if you got a revelation by yourself, that ain't God. Alright, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to come back to this. I'm going to show you. How many know God is so perfect in all his ways? God is what? Perfect in all his ways. I think 2 Corinthians chapter 13, so verse 1. He said, this is the
third time
I come to you in the Paul said, listen, I done came to you once. I done came to you. He said, this is the
third time.
He said, stop doing stuff unless you have a witness. That's good. Got it? Alright, so now let's go back to Revelations. So there are some things, like I said, I was so excited. Yes, that's a good message. I said, I'm not speaking to the people, I'm speaking to you. I'm like, wow, you messing with me, you make a serious gut check. A lot of times God be thinking of stuff, giving us something, we'll be thinking about everybody else. But if we just take a few minutes and
listen,
we say, God, we'll find out. He wasn't speaking to nobody but to us. Amen. I saw a great white throne and him that sat upon his face. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. And the
book,
which is the book of life. And the dead was judged out of those things which were written in
the books.
God is keeping an account. You might think you're getting by. You might think you're hiding the sight. But he's keeping an account. And it is in God's book. How many know God's book doesn't have no eraser? The only thing that can erase stuff out of God's book is if you confess and forsake it, God will have mercy. But if you've been doing it and you have not yet confessed and forsaken it, look at somebody and say, it's still in the book. Come on, look at them. Now look at yourself and say, it's still in the book. Because you didn't get it right. So it's still
in the book.
Don't we want to leave tonight be right?
Amen.
Anybody gets to come to church and plan with God because he already knows. The books were open and they were judged on the things which were written in the book according to their
words.
Whatever you do is in the book. And the sea gave up. So all those people that want their bodies spread in the sea, you're still coming. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered the dead which was in. Somebody said, I killed myself. You still got to appear. There is no escaping God. There is no death. Gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their
words.
Yes, Lord. You can't play with God. Run, hide, do all this. God said, I'm still going to find you because it's in the book. Amen. So it's so important tonight. If I'm in the eternity and I have a flashback, all I can hear is glory, glory, hallelujah, giving God the highest praise. But if there's anything that's separating between you and your God, in Isaiah, he said, he closed. closed his ears to that. Amen? I can't go there because my time is up. But almost. And death and hell were cast into the
lake of fire.
This is
second death.
Somebody said you died twice there. The first death is just letting you know where you're going to wind up at. How many of those saints don't die? We fall asleep. Right? Somebody said, they died. No saints fall asleep. God said, all those that were sleepy brought with them. So saints don't die. Saints fall asleep. But then when you die, that means you have to appear before the. And then when you're dead, he judges you. Then he said, this is the second death. I know y'all say this is some new stuff. That's right. Just stay with it. As whosoever was not found written in the if your name in the book, as we all stand, if your name is not in the book of life, and you're being judged by the things not in your every secret thing, things that nobody knows about, God says, you're still being judged. Hallelujah. Timothy says, some men's sins go up beforehand. That's those that are blessed. Some men's sins, those are the ones that God said will be unto thee. Tonight there is no hiding place. There's nothing that we can do that God doesn't see it. So tonight, how many just want to be ready? The Bible says in trying to be ready, it says, let a man examine and a woman ought to examine. We have to examine ourselves. Lord, in the name of Jesus, to see if we're right before God.
When he claps the sky and says, come my people, I want to